Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's begin with what we watch, how we watch, and what we pay for it. We're talking about TV, which is changing at lightning speed thanks to the ability to download programs directly from the internet.
It's encouraging millions of customers to abandon their cable TV subscriptions. In fact, since 2010, close to 4 million American households have either cut their cable cord or opted not to sign up. Instead, they're streaming shows through services like Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon.
And next month, they'll be able to add HBO to that list. The premium cable network is launching an internet service that doesn't require a cable connection, partnering with another powerhouse, Apple.
At last year's Golden Globe Awards, comedians Tina Fey and Amy Poehler had some fun talking about this fast pace of change and the next frontier of television.
Nominated shows tonight are actually on Netflix this year.
Netflix, big deal. Netflix.
House of Cards, Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
Enjoy it while it lasts, Netflix, because you're not going to be feeling so smug in a couple of years when Snapchat is up here accepting best drama.
Snapchat, all right. Well, joining us now to talk about cutting the cable cord and where all this is going is Hiawatha Bray. He writes about technology for the Boston Globe and joins us regularly here on Radio Boston. Hiawatha, great to have you.
Yeah, great to be here.
So I was thinking, go ahead.
I wouldn't worry so much about Snapchat. I'd worry about Meerkat. Have you heard about that one?
All right. Well, let's talk about that in a second. But I just want to stick with this Apple TV and HBO because I was thinking so much about to happen next month. It'll be spring. There'll be baseball. It'll be warm. And you'll be able to get HBO on your Apple TV. So,
absolutely.
So much to look forward to. So explain this partnership between HBO and Apple and what it means.
Well, really what it means is that the traditional model for watching TV is disintegrating before our very eyes. I don't want to focus entirely on Apple because did you guys notice what Sony just did?
No, tell us about that.
Sony's brought out their version of this. Let me explain a little background here. What they are doing is what is sometimes called virtual cable. The idea is that you basically, instead of subscribing to a cable channel and getting X number of channels, you just get a broadband internet access, and then the company delivers TV over your pre-existing internet. Mm-hmm. And now that's what Apple is going to be doing with this deal with HBO and several other TV networks. They're going to be working with Fox, ABC, CBS. You're going to pay something like $25 to $35 a month, and you're going to get like 20 or 30 different channels. Sling, which is part of Dish Network, they've already started doing this. For $20 a month, you get ESPN, HGTV, you get CNN and all that. Sony has just announced they're going to offer 50 channels for $50 a month, but you have to have a PlayStation in order to get it, and so on.
And so
all across the board, everybody's doing this all of a sudden.
So what does this mean to the traditional cable company? We mentioned millions of people cutting their cable cord. Is this the end of the cable business as we've known it?
Oh, of course not. I mean, come on. Frankly, for a huge number of consumers, the traditional cable bundle still makes the most sense. I mean, if you took all of these various offerings that are out there, each of them is missing something that you might want. For example, I mean, like, as I understand it, ESPN is not going to be available through the Sony service, for example. And everybody wants ESPN. So people will end up buying two or three of these things. And by the time you do that, you're paying just about as much for TV as you are now with cable. So the idea is that there are going to be a certain subset of people who are going to want services like this because they want less TV. But for the hardcore, like, basically, for my wife, put it this way, for my wife, it's going to be cable.
She wants cable.
And there's still going to be that universe of people, but they're going to have to put their costs under control because they won't be able to just keep charging more and more and more the way they've been doing.
More and more for more and more channels, it seems.
Exactly.
Like.
Yeah. And this is just this radical new shift in competition that is going to force them to keep their costs in line, and that's all a good thing. But it's not going to kill cable. It's certainly going to change the whole industry, though, because when they get to a... They're getting to the point where cable is so expensive now that more and more people are just going to say, the heck with it. I'm going to buy one of these mini devices, just get the most, you know, the top 20 channels I like and kiss these guys goodbye.
But am I right? I read recently that cable companies are starting to push the similar thing, these mini bundles for as low as $40 a month. So,
Absolutely.
So in a way, this really is, it's not driving them out of business, but changing the way they do business.
That is exactly right. They're not going away. They're just going to be forced to compete on a different level. And keep in mind something very important people forget. These cable companies are almost all providing the broadband as well. And they actually make more money in terms of profit margins delivering broadband than they make delivering cable, because they're not paying these huge fees to the cable channels. So if everybody started buying faster internet instead of more cable channels, they could actually make out okay.
All right. So sounds like because of your wife, you're not going to be cutting that cable
cord.
Yeah,
believe me. If it wasn't for her, I'd be gone long. I'd be long gone by then.
All right. Let's shift topics for a moment and talk about what you wrote about today, Internet Explorer. And you asked this question, can Microsoft rise as Internet Explorer browser falls? So Microsoft is dropping Internet Explorer from its upcoming Windows 10 operating system. Why?
What's going on here? They're keeping the underlying software, but you and I, the average user, will not use it. Some corporations have written software that need the core of Internet Explorer, so they're going to leave it into the system. But the new Windows 10 is going to have an entirely new browser that's going to be built on entirely new architecture, and it's going to contain a system very similar to Siri called Cortana, which will allow you to do all kinds of searches and get all kinds of information just by talking to your computer. But this is just one small part of what's going on at Microsoft, which is this amazing attempt to reinvent itself by doing all kinds of crazy stuff that Microsoft would never have done just 5 years ago.
For example,
Windows 10, the operating system that is going to have this new browser. You know how much it's going to cost if you already have a Windows 7 or 8 computer?
Tell us.
Nothing. They're giving it away. For the first year it's on the market, you can just go download it. It will be free. I mean, Microsoft giving away Windows? That's insane. If you have an iOS or Android device and you want to use Microsoft Office, go download it. If you're using it on one of those devices, it's free. You can sit there creating Word documents and so on.
Why are they doing this? Why give it away free?
They're doing this because they're desperately trying to hang on to mind share and market share. They still have versions of these products that they sell. And if they can just keep people loyal to these products, they can keep making money from them. If they can keep people using Office, they say, all right, on my phone, I'm getting a free version of it, but I'm so used to working with Office, now I definitely will buy the next version for my desktop computer. So that keeps Office in play. And if they can just, this whole 1 year for Windows 10, Windows 8 was a disaster. It really hurt the brand. They got to get rid of it as quickly as possible. Giving away for 1 year Windows 10 helps them in the long run, because then they can keep on selling it for years to come. It makes perfect sense, but it's very different from what Microsoft used to do. And it shows that under their new CEO, Satya Nadella, they are really trying to shake things up, and I think it might work.
All right. Hiawatha Bray, technology reporter for the Boston Globe. He joins us regularly here on Radio Boston to talk about the changing world of technology. Hiawatha, as always, thank you.
Thank you.
And you can find, by the way, a link to Hiawatha's column on Internet Explorer at radioboston.org.